Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
We are once again live here from the Casa de Quinlan, I guess. Quinlan's house. Say hi, everybody, Quinlan.
Hi, everybody.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll remember we did this for Sengoku Lord last month. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. Please subscribe. But we'll get into that page in a second. But yes, we're here on the free feed to review the big Summer Struggle in Jingu show. Great show. Awesome show. Show of the Year contender, I think. Just an outstanding show. And you know, I guess I gave my opinions away. You can stop listening. You know what I think, 30 seconds in. No, it was an outstanding show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the four King of Pro Wrestling matches from Korakuen. And we'll do a little bit on Strong Week 4. But, Quentin, how you doing? You're back on the free feed here.
Yeah.
Which means you don't get paid this time.
We'll see about that.
I'm not paying. I already bought you fucking Dunkin' Donuts. Okay. There's your payment. Everybody, thank you as always for listening, everybody. Quinlan, do you want to say anything to the much larger universe of free listeners? Anything you want to talk about? Or
today's show could have had, like, every match been, like, somebody having a shit finish and getting horrible and being terrible, and as long as Naito won in the end, you would have been like, awesome show, yeah!
I thought the show was awesome before the main event.
If
look at that sound you made. No. Look at this. Look at Audacity while you go. You just blew out their eardrums.
I'm sorry. But if the main event had a different finish, I have a feeling you would not be as
would still
as
be
you
happy.
Are now.
I would still be happy. The rest of the show was awesome. I mean, as they kept going with all those heel finishes, I was like, well, either Naito is winning this main event, or Gato is trying to, like, I don't know.
Get us even deeper depression.
Get us in even deeper depression. But, you know.
Although, I don't know if the KOPW counts as a heel win with Yano.
I guess. You're right. Heelish
as in Okada didn't win.
Almost the entire rest of the show.
If it would have been a Desperado win, would have been a heel
win. That's true. But, you know, Yano could count.
I mean,
yeah. It was surprising, though. But we'll get into all that. What have you been doing lately? What have you been watching or listening to or anything?
I've been watching wrestling. I've been watching.
I should hope so. I guess I meant like other things, buddy. Do you want to talk
besides wrestling? Or
do you want to talk about anything else? Have you been watching High Score Girl?
I told you I have, so I don't know why you're
this
asking.
This is for the listeners to talk about.
Well, you should have
stuff.
Said, so you recently told me you've been watching High Score Girl.
The
instead
listeners,
of asking a question you know the answer to.
The listeners aren't in the car with us. They don't get to hear all of our conversations. But yes, you've been enjoying High Score Girl. We've talked about that in the podcast a bunch of times. It's a great show. I was telling people in the Voice of Wrestling Slack that they should watch it because Netflix has this new video game documentary thing, High Score.
I'm thinking about catching that.
Yeah, I've heard it's good, but people are talking about how great it was. And I'm like, if you like High Score, you should watch High Score Girl because it's also on Netflix. And also, like, if you love nostalgia of video games, even if you don't normally like anime, I mean, that show will be up your alley.
Yeah.
It's just a love letter to 90s video games.
So. And everyone should watch these. I know you haven't for some reason. Demon Slayer. And the new movie is coming out this fall, I think, in Japan. So it'll probably get a year, in theory, a release in theaters next year, depending on where everything's at. I mean, in the U.S., I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I think, but depending on...
I really need
theaters
to watch
are open by that.
I only watched the first episode of Demon Slayer. I should watch it. It is really good, I heard.
Yeah. Most of my favorite characters, the most popular characters, not come until like halfway through the season, so you'll have to
I thought
watch.
Everybody like said Sister, who's there from the first
She season. Was until a couple other female characters show up, and I think they might be slightly more I know she was my favorite until these two showed up, and I'm like, okay, I like them better. They're
okay.
Awesome.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to get around to it, I think. I also want to start ReZero.
Yeah, I've been telling you that for a while. I haven't started the second season yet, but I know it's not a full season because of COVID. It's been split into two. But, I mean, if you went to, like we did, to Japan, ReZero was, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
In, like, why is the name of the place? Akiba.
Yeah.
Like, well, not ReZero, more Rem from ReZero. Is like, you can't go, like, 2 feet without seeing her face in a claw machine, a poster, this and that. She is everywhere. She's pretty popular. And so I don't know why it took so long to get a second season, but it's fine.
Well, it got delayed because of the pandemic.
Yeah. But it was still supposed to come out only this year. I thought it would have been. The first season came out a few years ago.
That's right.
I mean, they did have like a filler movie in between that I didn't see. I heard it wasn't worth watching.
Well, the show I've been watching that I've been trying to tell you to watch is like, it was so popular in Japan, the Blu-rays outsold Frozen.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about, right? My Next Life as a Villainess, Hanifura.
Yeah,
it was like one of the only animes to outsell a fucking Disney movie in Japan, because Japan loves Disney.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hanifura's Blu-rays were outselling Frozen 2 a lot of weeks. That's how popular that show is. So that's why it got renewed, you know, right when the first season ended.
Well, there's
which does not always happen.
A million shows I've recommended to you that you haven't seen.
Okay,
so, yeah,
okay.
You still haven't watched Dr. Stone. You still haven't watched...
I haven't
even finished the new season of My Hero Academia.
I know,
you got issues.
I'm just...
You haven't caught up on... You barely watched any of JoJo's, and I've told you over and over again, you don't even need to watch part one. You can just start in part three. That's what a lot of people do. Although part two, I think, is worth watching. Part one is by far the worst.
Yeah, part one bored me. What I was going to say was this... The Patreon is my life now, and that's a good transition because
you're changing
folks,
people's lives.
I know it's my life. I don't know if I'm changing anyone's life.
You're like the Fiend. You change people's lives. That's what I think it was Michael Cole said. The Fiend changes people's lives when he encounters.
Can
them.
We let's
so you change people's
lives. I have to say this out loud because you bring the. I wasn't going to say anything because you brought this up.
I know.
How
you're
fucking stupid is it that Roman Reigns takes 6 months to come back? We're all excited to see
this
him.
Shouldn't surprise
He's trying though. To save us from the worst run of WWE main events, probably in history, with The Fiend and Braun Strowman.
Mm.
And it's probably up there.
It's up there. I don't know if it's the worst.
And
could be right,
I think
though.
It's the worst.
He could be right. But...
The point is, though, he's this cool guy who cared about his family, so he couldn't wrestle
and his health.
For 5 months, and his health, but he's a cancer survivor. And we are supposed to boo him. He is the bad guy. We're supposed to cheer, I guess, either the demon clown Monster Man
or the...
Or the
man who attacked the tiny girl.
Or the other Monster Man who just attacked the tiny girl, yes. Those are the heroes of the story. The cool guy who is normal and, you know, looks like an actual human fucking being and that we've all been missing all this time. He's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to boo him. It's amazing. People have been telling them to do
I haven't watched SmackDown yet, so he is the heel. He is
yeah.
Okay.
No, Paul Heyman's a face now.
No.
Trust me, he's a heel. But yeah, it's just funny because people have been telling them to do that Roman turn forever, and they're just like, how about we do it at the exact moment where everyone is dying to see them come back and kick everybody's ass?
What if this
that makes
is.
Sense.
Unfortunately, I know the answer to this question. And this is like trying to. This is kind of like, as a comparison, how like. Before I say what I say, the only comparison is how Tommy Wiseau now claims The Room was like was planned the whole time to be a dark comedy.
Yeah.
What if, like, Roman, as soon as we get crowds back, whoever knows.
Yeah,
I have a feeling with this character, Roman will get cheered like
are you
all
kidding?
Hell.
Who the fuck would boo Roman Reigns against, And now he has Paul Heyman, which makes me even cooler.
And I bet like Vince will be like, well, God damn it, that was my plan the whole time.
Who is going to be Roman Reigns against Bray Wyatt and the fucking Fiend? You're going to be like, get him, Fiend. Yeah. I like the Fiend. I like terrible matches. It's like, okay.
This is like Becky Lynch all over again. I feel like that's what's going to, when by the time
it's amazing.
And I, you know, I was really hoping, because in theory, it's possible, like the first major show where WWE could get crowds back, maybe. And have a full crowd is possibly Royal Rumble. I mean, that's not definite.
I don't think they're going to have a full crowd out of Royal. Maybe WrestleMania.
I thought maybe there was, and like Roman could have returned there, been like number, like make Baron Corbin number one, someone who you'll guarantee Roman will get cheered against, and then Roman comes out number two. You could have gotten a huge pop, and then make Brock number 30, and everyone thinks, oh, fucking Brock again, and Roman wins. Right,
this is fancy booking now. Anyway,
I know.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because you mentioned that. But the actual transition into the Patreon plug. So, folks, if you're not yet subscribed, patreon.com/wrestlingomakase is where to go. Honestly, you should, I don't know when this is going to go out, but we're recording this April 29th. You should wait until September 1st so you don't get double charged. I'm not trying to rip anybody off. If you subscribe before September 1st, you'll get charged $5 and you'll get charged another $5 on September 1st. So, wait till Tuesday, but you definitely should subscribe on Tuesday because we have so much cool shit coming up in September. We're going to do another five matches free up. Another Patreon exclusive five matches episode. We're going to do a, you know, we're going to finish up our Naito Ishii series, watching all of them in chronological order. We have 8 episodes done already, only 2 to go. But the big thing is, I am going to cover the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax, the All Japan Pro Wrestling Champion Carnival, and the NOAH N1 Victory. All 3 tournaments running at the same time. We're going to do them all. I might lose my mind trying to do this, but I'm going to make it work.
And Survivor Series.
So, no, not Survivor Series. So those 3 tournaments, some will be on the free feed still. Basically, the way it'll break down is like the weekend shows will be free feed. The weekday shows will be like same day on the Patreon. So you'll have to subscribe to it to get the, you know, to get the full coverage of all the 3 tournaments. So we're going to make it work. I'm going to lose my mind trying to do it, but I'm going to cover all 3 tournaments. So if you want to hear my thoughts on every single match, all 3 tournaments, follow along. It's patreon.com/wrestlingomakase. We're going to have guests, too, for some of the episodes on the Patreon, too. So, you know, it'll be a great, great time. I already got a great group of guests lined up for the, you know, for all the episodes with the free episodes, too, where we'll be covering the shows on the weekend. So, yeah, we got a ton of stuff coming up. patreon.com/wrestlingomakase. There's anime omakase, too, if you like that little bit of anime talk. Nicole and I just did an episode on Hamifura, which people seem to like a lot. So definitely check that out.
When are you guys going to marathon Boruto?
I don't think ever, honestly. All right, so let's get into these
New
Japan.
Only like 50 episodes behind. I'm catching up.
How long did it take to get to the manga again? It was like 100 episodes.
The first chapter of the manga was covered after like episode 52. And now I think
so. You watched 51 straight episodes of filler.
About that, and I know the next. Then they do the first arc, and then the second arc doesn't. And that only lasted like 10 episodes, maybe less. The second arc in the manga does not start until episode 151, I believe. So it's about like 90 episodes of filler after that, which is I'm in that now. But the thing is, it's not nearly as bad as the Naruto filler used to be.
That's like, something. That's definitely something.
But I guess when you're writing filler full time, you have to like really think of some good stuff.
So it's not. You said it's not as bad as the Naruto.
I don't think so.
What was the worst Naruto filler arc? Was it the Ninja Ostrich?
Yeah, that was really bad. Although the Naruto filler doesn't compare to the Bleach filler, but only the one shot Bleach episodes. The Bleach filler arcs, I remember, could actually be decent. Sometimes even better than the main story. Rarely, but their one shot episodes were the worst things ever conceived by man. Filler episodes. So,
what about what was the Rurouni Kenshin had really horrible filler too?
Yeah,
like the Necromancer's arc and all
the Necromancers, Divine Medicine, the Circus was okay.
The filler arcs or something. Garlic Jr. Dragon Ball Z.
That actually looks good now. stuff, but
all right, folks, let's get into the shows here. Let's start with the 4 King of Pro Wrestling matches in Korakuen just before we get into Jingu, just because I wanted to cover them. Since they were, you know, kind of important. The first one was the no-finisher match. El Desperado defeating Satoshi Kojima in 14-13 by disqualification to advance to the 4-way at Jingu. I don't know why I just struggled with my words there. I'm sorry. So I'm not going to go blow-by-blow on these matches because I want to get to Jingu. But this was fun. I thought this was a damn good match. I went like 3.5 on it.
I like the part where Kojima like blocked a move with something that looked...
Well, yeah. Like he hit like... So we got... It was like controversy. It was pretty early too. Kojima appeared to hit like a lariat of sorts to like
It was
block,
on his arm.
Yeah so to block like, Despy. And Despy starts going like, come on, DQ him. And the ref's like, the ref's thinking about it. And Kojima does like make a little...
apology. Yeah. It wasn't really, no.
It was pretty funny. But yeah, there was another point where Kojima like forgot and started to throw his regular lariat before having to stop. And then that Despy like poked him in his eyes and rolled him up for two. I wonder, would Kojima have just won if this was finisher only? Would they find...
I think so.
That's funny. So the fans are essentially voting on the result.
If it was finisher only, I don't know. I wonder what they would have done.
I was a little surprised no finisher won. But
yeah,
the fans really wanted to see it. Apparently, the fans love Desperado, especially in Japan. Like,
I mean,
he has
do
a lot
think
of...
that is the more interesting match. Yeah. The other result is just, I don't know, that would just be like a normal match, I feel like, in a way.
Yeah.
This was more interesting, and I really loved the match, and then the finish came, and I was like, well, that was dumb, but then I thought, well, how else was it going to end, really?
Yeah, so the ref was down, Desperado went for the Pin J Loco, he went for his finisher, which he's not supposed to do. Kojima got out of it, and then Despy hit Kojima with a lariat and like taunted him to do his own, which he did. But Marty Asami revived just in time to DQ him.
Yeah.
I love the finish.
Yeah,
like, you could see Marty in the corner of your eye in the background too. So you're like, oh no, Kojima, don't do it! And then he does it, and Marty calls for the bell. But yeah, I went 3.5. This was fun. Match number 2 of the King of Pro Wrestling matches was Toriano defeating Bushi in 4:44. To advance in the 2-count pinfall match. This was definitely the better result than the 5-count ring out.
Yeah.
Because 2-count pins, I've seen them a lot in DDT and Dragon Gate and, that tag tournament at the end of the year always does them, where, like, they'd have, like, a 10-minute time limit of the New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I've seen that. When we went to Japan the first trip, that there was some match on the show we went to, the DDT, like, Young Boy show.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And they had a match where... For overtime, it was a 2-count.
Right, that was the DNA one-night tournament.
Yeah.
So that was the same thing as the
really
title.
Interesting. And hasn't Dragon Gate done that?
Dragon Gate's done it a million times, yep. Dragon Gate's done 2-count. Remember there was like a famous reign, I think it was like Naoki Tanizaki, who kept like doing 2-count fall rules when he was Brave Gate champion, and then he like fought Pac or something, but Pac ended up beating him. It was like a match where Naoki only needed a 2-count, and Pac needed a 3-count, I think. But Pac still won. We learned there's apparently still countouts. Yano wouldn't get back in the ring, and the ref did start counting out. So it was like you could still win or lose by any other method. It's just it was a 2-count. Yano ended up with his legs taped together, and then still managed to reverse Bushi's Lamaji Star Cradle into a cutback for the 2-count pin. That was a really funny ending.
Yeah. I actually looked down for a second when that roll-up happened. When I heard 1-2, I thought, oh, Bushi won? And then I was like, oh, did Yano won. Oh, I guess he reversed, and I rewound. I was like, "Oh shit, Yano reversed and won." Okay,
it was pretty much exactly what I expected. I thought it was amusing and fun. I didn't really get why people were complaining about it. It was under 5 minutes. Like, people on the internet, like, fun is allowed in New Japan.
Yeah.
They act like this is fucking
a variety.
These people act like it's fucking rings sometimes. I'm like, they've had comedy as long as I've been watching.
Yeah,
like, what are you guys talking about? Anyway, it just did not wear out its welcome. After a while, you can only have so many 1-count kickouts, right? But I went 3 stars. This was fun. The third match, the one I was most flabbergasted on, although I shouldn't be at this point because people really hate Sonata. Sonata defeats Sho in 1937 to win the submission match with a figure four leg lock. This was easily match of the night. I went 3.75. I thought it was a great technical match.
It was the best match.
Really nice mat wrestling from both guys. This is where the fake crowd noise really got on my nerves, though.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't mention this, but, like, this was the first night where, which the people, I think, misunderstand the fake crowd noise. The big difference between New Japan doing this and WWE or AEW, they've been doing it, a lot during this pandemic, is, like, it's not just New Japan piping it in at all times. It's like the fans have an app, and when enough of them either hit cheer or boo, then the
noise
fake
noise
starts.
Yeah.
So when people are hitting cheer or whatever, it is a reaction from the fans. I mean, like, the fans are reacting by hitting the cheer button.
Is it only people in the building?
Only people in the building, yeah. So I think that's cool. But anyway, like, on the first night, the problem was it was just way too loud. Please silence your phone, sir. This is pretend you're in a movie theater. this is like, Totally lost my train of thought. Oh,
you're talking about the app.
Yes,
buddy.
It was just too loud on the first night. Like, you couldn't even hear the clapping, which I had gotten used to the clapping. I kind of like the clapping now.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you can even tell, like, how excited they are by how much or how little they're clapping, I feel like. But, I don't know. So it was way too loud. Thankfully, they turned it down the very next night.
Just too darn loud.
At the next Korakuen. Yeah. And then they turned it down at Jingu, too. So they found a better balance.
Yeah.
You said it was like, it sounded like the punch out.
Mike Tyson's punch out.
It sounded like the punch out.
I kept waiting for Mario to come in and.
But yeah, Sho, I thought, did a real strong job selling his leg in this match, especially when he gave Sonata like a gut buster onto his knees near the 15 minute mark. And then Sonata tapped out Sho with a figure four. He paid off all the leg work throughout the match instead of just going to the skull end.
Sonata's awesome. And if you don't like him. You've got issues. I don't know. I don't know why.
A lot
I don't
of people
get
hate
the Sonata hate. Is it because he doesn't cut promos?
I don't know.
And I want to ask these people, because I bet it'll turn out these people are huge fans of Ishii.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, then why do you
it's
like
not,
Ishii?
People hate his wrestling style. People hate his wrestling style. I don't know. But yeah, this was great. There's 3 3/4. The main event, on the other hand, was not great. It was Kazuchika Okada defeating the team of Yuji Takahashi, Gato, and Jado.
I was so mad the voting went to the piece. I voted for the freaking strap match just because I didn't want to see Jado and Gato wrestle. Because not that they were great at a time, but Jado can barely move now. And Gato has built himself to be a jobber, so
yeah.
I don't want to see him in the main event. And it's like, okay.
So can I say the result, though? Okada submitted
I wonder what people
Okada submitted Gato in 15:26.
Jado did not pin Okada.
The cover clutch. Well, you say that, but somebody really shocking did pin Okada.
Well, actually, yeah, but that doesn't count. He's like immune from. He's also pinned Omega when he was champion and Naito when he was champion. And
I will say, this was as dull and as bad as you'd expect it to be most of the time. And the fake boos, which sounded like someone trying to fucking. I don't know, like suck up a man booing through a goddamn vacuum cleaner, like while he's booing.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. Bah! Although it's not as bad as the WWE fake booing in the Thunderdome. Because the WWE fake booing in the Thunderdome just sounds like one long murmur.
Whoa.
Like no matter how long this thing is going on for, they just pipe in these non-stop boos. So like apparently, I guess the fake fans don't have to breathe.
Yeah.
It's like at some point they have to. There was like a segment I was watching with like AJ, where AJ was talking and the fans the entire time just going, "Boo!" Like at the exact same decibel. And it's like going on for like 10 minutes. I'm like, they would pass out at this point.
Yeah.
It was just really stupid. But anyway, but yeah, this is bad too. I lost my train of thought, I guess. Oh, the point I was trying to say was the end. At least Okada did a nice little dive onto the floor, which, you know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
like
I remember Jado only really getting in for, like, triple teams and double teams.
Yeah.
So he didn't really.
Okada did a nice dive on Jado and Yujiro on the floor out of nowhere when he's fighting with Gato. We got, like, a nice near fall with the Gato clutch from the man himself as Okada got back in the ring. It was, like, a 2.99 kick out.
Yeah.
Like, they really made you look like Gato was going to pin him.
I was spoiled on this match before I even watched it, but I knew Okada was
Anyway. Wow,
heartbreaking. I mean, I don't lose.
Okada did finish him off right after that with the fucking money clip or whatever.
And
like I said, the nicest thing I can say about the match, it wasn't quite as horrible as I expected to be. I gave it 1 3/4, so it fucking sucked, but it could have been a dud. So.
And can I tell you how much of this match makes Yujiro look like a dork? Even more than you're thinking. Because one, he wasn't the one that wanted the handicap match.
That's true.
It was Okada. And on top of that, then Okada won. So he looks like the... Like, he wanted a one-on-one match.
Yujiro.
Okada's like, no, you suck so much. I want to face you with two other people and I'll still win. And then he did win. So it's... I mean, I guess he didn't pin him. He pinned Gato, but still.
But it's fucking Yujiro. Who cares?
It makes Yujiro look like...
He is a dork, though.
But they keep trying to... Every once in a while... Well, I guess right now they're only doing it because so many people are...
Yeah,
down,
who cares?
I'm afraid they're going to continue that feud between him and Okada. Because after the match, he still said, I want to face Okada again. I mean, that could just be him saying
is he just like a masochist? Like, I don't understand. Why would you want to keep fighting this man? Anyway, so that brings us to Jingu itself.
I thought
we were
going to do Strong first.
No, let's do Jingu if we're up for Strong. But yeah, the King of Four Wrestling stuff, I enjoyed it. I don't know, again.
No, it was fine, except for that match.
People bitched.
But that didn't go on too long. It was like, the match that should have been the longest was Sho Sonata of the four of them.
And the match that should have been the shortest, I guess Bushi and Yano should have. And that didn't go on too long, but it was a pretty bad New Japan main event. But at least it wasn't main eventing like
just,
a big
show. Just a fucking Corkin.
It's just a Corkin.
Like, whatever. You think people... Anyway, people are allowed to lunch on this shit. I complain about it enough. The opening match, Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeating Master Wato in 7:31 with a sunset flip. Didn't you want to talk about how you think Wato banged Gato's wife or something?
I don't know what he did.
I don't even know if Gato's married, honestly.
But... I mean, this just looks... I mean, his gimmick is already pretty... Like, opening match, bound, and stay there forever. But then now they're making him lose to Kanemaru.
The Master Derby.
And who, the heel master. He's lost to Kanemaru twice now, hasn't he? Yeah.
I was pretty stunned.
So he's a dork.
Before we get into the actual match, though, the atmosphere for the show is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the
it worked out better than I thought it would.
The baseball stadium looked great. You could hear, like, the cicadas in the background. It started out with the sun out.
The sun went down.
This was, like, one of the coolest atmospheres for New Japan show.
Everyone was spaced out, you know.
Yeah, not like that Tokyo Joshi show I watched yesterday, where it's, like, it's just even social distancing. They had so many fans packed in Shinjuku Face.
That's not good.
But yeah, so the fans were at least clapping loud right from the start when Wato ran wild early. But Kanemaru came back by tossing him into the railing, hit a leg drop into the railing. The early portion of this match was a little boring. You know, Kanemaru raked his eyes, but Wato came back with a nice flying kick and then a corkscrew dive to the floor. You can just jump in here, by the way, if anything I'm saying.
This match is like 7 minutes long. What do you want to say?
Kanemaru hits a... I'm just telling you in general, I guess. Kanemaru hits a nice standing drop kick just after the 5-minute call. He goes for a moonsault, lands on his feet, and Wato rolls out of the way. But we got some kind of weird botch after a ref bump where it looked like Wato just lost track of what they were doing.
There seemed to be a botch in like every match. So yeah. I'm starting to think maybe
the
working out the side, humidity.
It's probably like 90% humidity there.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Because it seemed like every match had at least one botch by somebody.
Yeah. Kanemaru swings for the fences with his bottle of whiskey, which I guess makes sense here in the baseball stadium. Wato ducked to hit a big kick. Then that wacky like arm driver thing. I don't even know what it's called or anything. That got a two count. Wato hit like a kind of pedestrian straight combo and then a very weird inverted powerbomb. You hated that spot. It did look pretty stupid.
I didn't get it. It looked like Wato was getting
It looked like Kanemaru gave him like a, what's it called? Like a senton or something.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. It was really weird. So that wasn't a screw up.
I guess that was supposed to be.
It was just the camera angle in a weird place. I don't know.
And then Kanemaru just rolls him up with a pin.
Yeah.
Which is out of nowhere.
Time to win.
That was really weird. I was below average. I would say 2.25. Wasn't very good. Not anywhere near as good as Wato's last singles match with Doki. So Doki is better than Kanemaru, I guess, in 2020.
This match was there, and meanwhile,
Wato
Goto
looks like a
and
fucking...
Ishii had the night off, and so did Bushi and a lot of other really good people, and I'm like, okay.
Wato looked like a giant dork here getting pink clean by Kanemaru, but I guess this feud must continue.
Tenzon's got to train them better, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Match number two.
Maybe you should start using the Kingtron knee drop. I'm sure that'll work.
The biggest stunner of the entire night, Toru Yano.
Not the King Kong
knee
drop,
your...
the moonsault. I'm being stupid. Don't worry about me.
Okay, King Kong knee drop is Makabe. I didn't even catch that either. Match number two, the biggest stunner of the entire night, Toru Yano is the king of pro wrestling 2020, and he pinned Kazuchika Okada in 7 minutes and 1 second. What the fuck?
When is this guy?
What the fuck?
Gonna get his title match that he's been owed twice, by the way.
The IWGP title.
He's beaten Omega and Naito in G1s when they were champion, right? Am I wrong? I know he
beat
Omega.
He definitely did.
I could have sworn he beat Naito. Oh no, I think Naito wasn't champion, but he pinned Naito last year.
Yeah, he did pin Naito last year.
But Naito didn't win the thing. Has he ever? Who was world champion last year going into the G? Why am I forgetting?
It was Omega.
It was last year.
Oh, last year it was Okada.
It was Okada, yeah. And he didn't. I guess he didn't pin Okada. Yeah. But
there's another one though. I know what you're talking about, and he never got the title shot. I can't think of who it is either.
Yeah, I could have sworn he pinned another world champion.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yano's owed some.
So Yano is currently the king of professional wrestling. Toru Yano, the king of professional wrestling.
Well, either way, he pinned Naito last year's G1. Yeah. He's owed a title shot.
I don't think that's how it works.
Naito's champion now.
He
never did it.
You don't just pin somebody. Well, he didn't get it because he didn't beat anybody who was champion.
Okay. Well, he pinned Omega and never got a shot.
Okay.
So
he should go to AEW. Go to AEW and challenge.
No, he should get it here.
Stop smacking your leg, please. Yano was very frightened by the smoke machines coming out, which was really, which is really funny. He's like, the smoke started coming out, and he's like, ah!
Yeah.
It was really good. Sonata and Desperado started like stomping on Yano while Okada was still doing his pose, like coming out. That was also pretty funny. Yano went after Okada immediately with a running back elbow. I guess to show everybody that it's all everyone for himself.
No.
But then they started working together anyway.
I liked Okada and Sonata working together.
Well, before that though, so Okada was holding Sonata and told Yano to do a dive.
Yeah.
Which, how the fuck would that have worked?
I don't know.
And Yano hit the opposite ropes, but Desperado tripped him up.
Yeah.
Probably saved him from ending his life. And then after that, Okada and Sonata worked together on Desperado. The crowd seemed to love that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of a cool moment. You know, the two rivals, quote unquote. Okada, at that point, then he held up the LIJ fist.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Sonata, give me the fist bump, but then kicked him.
Sure.
It's like, what a jerk off. The crowd was actually laughing during this, which I don't know if they're supposed to do that, really, but they were making a little bit of noise here. And Okada and Sonata had a nice little exchange, ended with Sonata hitting a spinning suplex off the ropes. We had a little botch here, though, and this is what I guess we were talking about, one in almost every match. With Okada, like, he fell down when Sonata tried to do the moonsault into the skull end. That's not great, obviously.
But it's still not okay.
Yeah, I mean, other than looking kind of stupid, they went right in the skull end anyway, so it's not like it was a big deal. Despy came off the top of the frog splash on Okada while he was still in skull end. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then Desperado went for the pinche loco on Okada, but he back body dropped his way out of it. He had a big backdrop and then, or big drop kick, and then locked in the money clip. But Desperado like grabbed the referee to get out of it, and then Yano low blows Okada and pins him. The camera completely missed the low blow, by the way.
Yeah.
They had to show a replay angle to see it. But yeah, this was what the fuck.
I don't know. Yeah, because they missed it. Yeah.
Are they going to do Yano Okada during New Japan Road for this, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't know. That's so funny.
But I feel like Sonata and Desperado would match us first.
Yeah, you think? Because Okada got pinned.
Yeah.
But back of the line, buddy. Back of the line.
And I feel like, I thought going in it was going to be elimination, but I guess no one ever said that. And just New Japan almost never does that. Like,
yeah, I guess they're trying to do wacky stuff for this title. So
sure.
And then Yano holds up the trophy. He is the king of professional wrestling.
Kind of like
he like begged Okada for his forgiveness.
Yeah.
He was like, please, Okada, forgive me.
And
like,
then he desanitized it.
Oh, no, I think that's just water, buddy.
Oh.
He has that spray bottle.
Spraying water.
I don't know why not, because he has that spray bottle of water instead of his spit.
Yeah, I know.
And he sprays it around. But yeah, I gave this 3 stars. I had a good time. Even though it was only 7 minutes, obviously. Match number 3, the never openweight title. Here's where the show, like, fucking becomes
awesome
amazing.
Match.
Minoru Suzuki defeats Shingo Takagi in 14:56. Shingo was making his 4th attempt at defense, and Suzuki is now the new never openweight champion, the 30th champion, so that's kind of cool.
In his second reign, I believe.
Second. Is it second or third?
It might be his third, but
yeah.
I think it's his second, but I could be wrong.
So we start off with a big elbow exchange right off the opening bell, of course. Suzuki tries to grab Shingo into a front face lock, but Shingo comes right back with a front suplex. They end up on the floor, and Shingo like whips him into the railing. He basically beats him all over ringside, but then instead of trying to get the count out, he tosses him back in, because, you know, he's in a clean fighting mood lately, I guess. Suzuki just keeps beating on him with these hard slaps and kicks, and Shingo starts yelling at him to hit him harder, which is so cool. We end up in a chop and slap exchange, which Shingo looks to be winning until Suzuki like traps his arm, but then Shingo comes right back with a big standing lariat. He hits 2 more lariats in the corner, and then a big backdrop suplex really just fucking throws him, and that gets a 2 count. Shingo just like starts kicking at his head while he's down, which just makes Suzuki do that crazy laugh he does, like that you're fucked
psycho
laugh.
Yeah.
You know, he basically gets up and just elbows him in the face repeatedly. And then hits a big boot and a PK. He tries for the 1 foot cover, but only gets a 1 count. Some referees will not count those.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know.
You mentioned that.
Yes.
Yeah. He wants a real cover.
He wants a real cover. Like, remember when he, like, pantomimed that, no, this, you have to do this, and, like, put his... I think it was to Jericho. I think that's who it was. During Jericho, Tanahashi. I think he, like, pantomimed, like, you can't do no 1 foot. And then, like, put his arms out. That was kind of funny. But, yeah, then we get another big elbow exchange. Some great camera work during this too, just like showing the atmosphere. Like they showed us a shot of it, like pointing at the sky, and they were showing like what the stadium looked like during this. That was really cool. Shingo came back with a lariat against the ropes, tried for another one, but Suzuki ducked and got a sleeper locked in. I couldn't really keep up the action here. They were going so fucking fast. And Suzuki finally got the sleeper again. The crowd tries to, like, clap to get Shingo back in it. Suzuki lets go and goes for the gotch. But Shingo counters with that great, quick Death Valley driver he does, where he just, like, lifts the guy up and drops them all in one motion.
Yeah.
Shingo gets the pumping bomber, but Suzuki kicks out too. Suzuki tries to kick his way out, but Shingo just, like, catches him and hits Made in Japan. That looks pretty cool too, even though Suzuki took it in, like, a weird way, but, like, I wouldn't call that a botch. Like, the way he landed was a little weird, but, like, I mean, they hit the move.
Yeah.
You know, Suzuki kicked out of two. We got the 10-minute call. That was crazy. I couldn't believe it was only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was just all action.
It felt like, yeah, so much action. You thought, yeah. Not that the match felt like...
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was like, you know... That could be a good thing or a bad thing, I guess. But, yes. Then Shingo tries for Last of the Dragon. Suzuki gets out of it, hits a big headbutt to the back of the head, another one to the front, and a third headbutt that drops him. Suzuki hits his big slap combo, really laying into him, but Shingo comes back with a pair of his own headbutts. Suzuki gets the sleeper locked back on again. Shingo goes for Last of the Dragon, but Suzuki pulls his hair right back into the sleeper. Shingo duck escapes again, hits three straight short arm lariats, but Suzuki just wouldn't go down. Remember that when he was like hitting?
Yeah, one after the other? Just kept hitting. He hit the ropes, but he still wouldn't go down. And yeah. He was doing the crazy psycho look again, and yeah.
Then he hit a huge dropkick.
Yeah, that made me go like, holy shit, that's awesome. Pulls that dropkick out.
Both guys were down again. They trade more headbutt from a kneeling position, which I know you thought was nasty looking.
Yeah, but I've seen worse, unfortunately.
Then there were some elbow strikes. Shingo had a big elbow right to the face. Suzuki fired back one of his own. We get this very slow but like really intense elbow exchange here where they're really laying into each other during this one. It was great. Suzuki finally hits another hard headbutt, but then, you know, basically gets just making a great old man angry face as they go back into the elbows. And Suzuki gets the sleeper yet again. And Shingo, I thought, looked like he was done here. So I kind of figured this would be the finish. You know, the referee kept checking, and Suzuki goes for the gotch yet again, points to someone in the heavens, probably Carl Gotch himself. Because you're not normally outdoors, I guess. So he was able to actually point up at the sky. Where Carl Gotch is. It hits it for the win. This ruled. Suzuki. I love that they just let Suzuki win clean. I mean, people complain so much about the evil stuff, and I get it. But, like, there are plenty of other heels in this company that could win matches clean.
Yeah.
And this was, like, clean as a sheet. Both guys just killed each other from start to finish. I would go 4.25.
Yeah.
Same rating?
I gave the same rating, so.
Up next, we have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Another awesome, incredible match. Taiji Ishimori defeats Hiromu Takahashi. And 13:30 with the yes lock. It was Hiromu's second attempted defense, and Taiji is now the 87th champion. So he went, obviously the story here was Hiromu's shoulder. It was all taped up going in. Mm. It was legitimately injured. So Taiji went right at it immediately with kicks at the bell.
From the very start.
What did you say?
From the very start, yeah.
We get an elbow exchange, and then both guys just keep running as, you know, Taiji quickly tries to get La Mystica. Hiromu escapes it. He tries it again and gets La Mystica. He lands right on Hiromu's shoulder. I mean, that looks brutal, the La Mystica, where he just goes straight down the shoulder. You know, Hiromu rolls to the floor. Ishimori follows up with a really nice moonsault to the floor off the second rope. And then he does another 450 to the shoulder. Like, that was awesome.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
Like that springboard 450 landing right on the shoulder. He tries for the armbar, but Hiromu rolls to the floor again. Taiji stays on the arm, stretches it in the ropes. Hiromu tries to come back with a chop and then just, like, runs away, which Hiromu just, like, was working this match completely different from normal, and the idea, I guess, is that his arm really is that bad, and they did a great job, you know, getting that story over. He tries for the sunset bomb to the floor when Taiji gets on the apron, but Taiji fucking does a backflip onto the ground, lands perfectly on his feet. That fucking rolled. So I'd never seen anyone escape that sunset for powerbomb like that. Then he takes Hiromu and just throws him arm first into the ring post. That looked brutal. He just keeps kicking at the arm before Hiromu finally comes back with a nice standing Rana. Hiromu then tears the tape off his own shoulder. That was great. He's just like, I'm not going to let this stop me. Just tears it off. Hits a dropkick off the apron of the floor. Then we get a Falcon Arrow back to the ring for a two count as we get the 5-minute call. Again, amazing how much shit they packed into 5 minutes here. I mean, every match on the show wasn't like as long as a normal New Japan match. I don't know if they're just trying to not keep people out together as long, maybe.
That could have been it, but, or the fact that they're outside. I don't know.
But I mean, I liked it for a change. I liked having some shorter matches. Hiromu.
I thought this match was a little too short, though.
But
match could have gone. But they'll probably go longer when they have a rematch.
And I thought they told their story. So
yeah.
Hiromu hits a big lariat in the corner. Ishimori comes back with a dropkick in the other corner. Hiromu tries for belly-to-belly suplex in the turnbuckle, but Ishimori lands on his feet again on the second rope. Ishimori was awesome in this match. I mean, like as good as I've seen him in a long time. That was fucking amazing. Then he hits a reverse Rana on Hiromu, drops him right in his head. Hiromu, though, comes back and manages to get the belly-to-belly suplex into the turnbuckle this time. Both of them are down again. Hiromu hits the dynamite plunger for a two count. Taiji tries to kick the shoulder again, but Hiromu no-sells at this time and hits a big lariat. They trade German suplexes, landing right on their heads. Both guys no-sell, and then Hiromu comes back with a pair of lariats, but can't make the cover because his arm is in pain again. So he's just doing a great job selling his shoulder here, like really clutching it after every cover. And then we get a big reversal sequence ending with Ishimori hitting the inverted lung blower. Both guys down again. Ishimori hits La Mystica again just after the 10-minute call and goes right into the yes lock. Hiromu struggles and finally makes the ropes. Awesome selling by Hiromu here. And then Ishimori hits a crazy low power bomb. That low power bomb was awesome. Like, he just basically dumped him right in that turnbuckle with that low power bomb. Then he hits a big lariat. He goes for Bloody Sunday, but Hiromu reverses it into the corner Death Valley driver charge. He locks in the yes lock again, and rolls Hiromu back over when he almost makes it to the ropes. And, oh, I'm sorry, I missed something. Actually, I missed Hiromu hitting the time bomb and hitting it, which Taiji kicked out for.
But not the time bomb.
Hiromu went for the time bomb too, and Taiji fought out of it. He got like some kind of crazy head drop from an inverted DET position. I don't even know what that was, but it looked crazy. And then he gets the yes lock in again. He rolls Hiromu back over when he almost makes the ropes, and Hiromu has no choice but to tap out. I thought this match fucking rocked. But this was the match of the night. The shoulder work was great. Hiromu's selling was great. There was still like all sorts of like spectacular shit in there. And it paid off at the end with a logical, clean finish. A heel in Bullet Club wins completely clean. It's like cause for celebration, honestly.
Well, he did go after the weak part.
That's wrestling. That's wrestling, though.
He's a bad, bad man.
But I went 4.5 on this. I thought this was an incredible match. You know, obviously not as good as the 2018 Best of Super Junior final, but they got a lot closer than I thought they would. So this was awesome. I think you were a little bit lower, right?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you give it?
I don't know, but I didn't think it came close to their 2018.
Okay, I thought they. I did said
they had more time. They would.
I went 5 stars in 2018. I went 4.5 here, but. I thought this was awesome.
I'm sure they'll have a rematch eventually, though. We'll be given more time.
This this match didn't need more time. But Storm was the shoulder. He punished the shoulder and he fucking won.
The title. Yeah. So I guess you're right. As part of the overall. This is one of those matches where you need to know the end of the story.
Yeah.
Including the next match, which. I don't know what the fuck they're going with that, but.
The fifth match, the semifinal, the IWGP tag team title.
Broke my fucking heart.
The Dangerous Techers, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi, make their first defense. Zack defeating Tanahashi with the Zack Mephisto, the double team Black Mephisto. They make their, successfully retain the titles. This was, first of all, the first successful defense on the show, since we saw the last two were both title changes, and was like continuing a trend of all heel wins here, which made me more confident, like I said, that Naito was going to win the main event, because not all titles changed hands. And at this point, you know, we had all heel wins.
I wish I could view into an alternate universe where Naito lost the title and see John saying, "We're going to talk about SmackDown tonight, everybody. If you're going to like it. I'm not talking about New Japan anymore."
I don't think that would have happened, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new Golden Age intro to the theme song, which is pretty cool.
And then they lost.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I thought they like made you think, mm-hmm. All right, they're definitely going to win. They got a new intro to their theme song. And then Taichi and Zack tried to get the jump on them early, but this time the Golden Age were finally ready for it. Only took them like 15 tries to finally be ready for the techers jumping them from all those like six fans and stuff, I mean. But yeah, so they fought them off, but then Taichi cut Tanahashi off with a dangerous backdrop, dropped him right on his head. Both techers beat them all around ringside. Taichi then choked Tanahashi out with a camera cable. Back of the ring, they just kept working over Tanahashi, mostly choking him some more. This was not the most exciting stuff, but like Tanahashi's typically great selling did keep me engaged, so that's good. Tanahashi tried to come back with forearms, only to get choked some more by Taichi. Tana blocked a lariat, finally managed to crossbody out of the corner, and then was finally able to tag in Ibushi. Ibushi makes a comeback with a big dive to the floor, hits a standing shooting star press on Taichi. The standing shooting star looked awesome.
Yeah.
Ibushi and Taichi then traded middle kicks. This was your favorite part of the match, I think.
Yes.
Taichi hit like a really nice standing enzigiri to win that battle just before the 10-minute mark.
That thing was... Ibushi has the best kicks. He's awesome.
Taichi's kicks were great, too.
Taichi's kicks were pretty good, too, yeah.
Taichi pulled off the pants!
Uh-huh.
Pulled him off. Tried for a super kick, but Kota caught his leg, hit a nice little back kick. Taichi hit a head kick, but Ibushi fired right back with his own head kick. That looked really nice. And both guys were down. ZSJ and Tanahashi tagged in. And Tanahashi had a dragon screw on Zack. Then another dragon screw in the ropes. Tanahashi tried for the cloverleaf, but Zack was able to crawl the ropes pretty much immediately to break. Tanahashi tried for the sling blade, but Zack caught his arm and like they end up in like this backslide position. They struggled over that for a little bit until Taichi ran in and hit a big boot on Tanahashi to put him down. Taichi like held Tanahashi, and Zack looked for those standing dragon screws like they did at Dominion, but Ibushi came in this time with a huge springboard missile dropkick. Didn't you compare him to like the... Oh, no, that was like the Terminator thing. They then do the exact same double team with Kota holding Taichi and then Zack, you know, hitting the dragon screw. What the hell's that sound?
That was the launch machine.
Okay. I don't know.
I can't hear it, John.
Okay, I hope not. Zack... Then they did the same thing to Zack. They held him up there and we got the other dragon screw from Tana. This part was cool. Like, the revenge from Dominion.
Yeah. And, yeah... Ibushi was very intense, and it was awesome that the part where I thought Sabre Jr. was going to tap him out, and Ibushi just shows up from behind, like slowly walks over, like I'm gonna kill this fuck, like with his look on his face,
yeah.
like and Sabre Jr. doesn't see him. It was great. The crowd was, I felt like it was making maybe a little bit of noise. I know there was a lot of. They were definitely pushing that app because there was a. I heard the fake crowd noise more than anything else up until this match. So,
they did the, yeah. So that was what we were talking about. Where Zack was able to duck the sling blade and you know countered into a takedown and then like torturous looking arm lock he does.
Yeah.
Is that the napalm death? I can never remember which one is which.
Neither can I.
But either way, it doesn't matter. But Tanahashi's selling and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then that's when, like, Ibushi showed up like the fucking Terminator to break it up. He starts going for Kamigoe, but Taichi brings in the Iron Fingers.
Yeah.
But Ibushi
kicks it out of his hand.
Yep, yeah. He kicked the arm away. Then he hit a knee strike on Zack, another one on Taichi. They hit the Golden Boy on Taichi. I forget the 15-minute call. Then the Golden Boy on Zack. Didn't you think they were going to win here?
I thought they were. I mean, he hit a high fly flow, and I'm like, oh, he's going to go to another one to really finish him off.
Yeah,
and
so then... Ibushi hits a dive to Taichi on the floor. Mm. Tanahashi goes up and hits the high fly flow crossbody to Zack.
Yeah.
And he goes up again and goes for the real one to the front. But Zack rolls out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Taichi comes in out of nowhere. I don't know where the fuck he came from. They get the Zack Mephisto on Tanahashi. And that's the pin.
Yeah.
That was stunning. That was like a really stunning result. Yeah. You know, Ibushi tried to make the save. He looked like he was going to. But Taichi just barely held him back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the finish was awesome. Like, the finish was so well executed from all the guys. Like, Taichi coming in out of nowhere. The, you know, just barely holding Ibushi back at the last second. Krillin's giving me a dirty look because he's very upset his boys didn't win. But, like, this was a great match. I mean, I didn't think it was quite as good as Dominion, but it was still pretty awesome. Especially once we got past the kind of boring opening portion.
I thought it was better than Dominion.
I went 4.5
more competitive.
I went 4.5 at Dominion. I only went 4 stars here. What would you give it?
Possibly 4.5. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
4.25. I mean, I would have loved it even more if they had won, but it was still a great match. I can't deny that.
Okay.
But I thought it was just part... Maybe it's part two. While the first match was part one in the story, this was part two, and maybe... I mean, I don't know if they're even going to do a tag league this year. And if they do, it's far away. But, I mean, I don't know how they're going to handle the end of the year, especially post G1. I mean, I don't know if they're going to try to fit in a best of Super Juniors. I don't know if they're going to do just the junior tag league.
We don't know.
Junior. If you have to pick one for between junior tag league and best of Super Juniors, I don't think anyone will be like, now tell them, junior tag league, just cancel that. Justin, fuck off. My favorite part of the year. That's like the one. That's like the one thing no one cares about. So you got, if you guys want,
well, no one cares about the war tagging either.
I think they care a little bit more.
Probably a little bit. Yeah, it's been okay the last couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, I
would take
this is getting off topic, but yeah. I feel like maybe just skip the junior tag league this year and do best Super Juniors. But it's up to you guys.
But yeah, I love the finish. Tanahashi just couldn't quite get the job done. He's still. I guess he is too old. Like
Dangerous Techers are an excellent heel tag team. Yeah. I just was mad that they lost their tag titles in their first shot, Tanahashi and Bushi, in their first defense. And I felt like the tag titles are getting bounced around too much.
They did retain.
They're trying to, I think, build them up. And I think having Tanahashi and Bushi feud for them makes them look more important than it was just always
well,
the
even
same
just
three
having,
tag
even
teams.
Just, even just having Zack and Taichi with them makes it more important.
You should always just be Gorilla's Destiny, War Machine, and who was the other tag team that was always fighting for those things?
Kill Elite Squad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. So, good match, though. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
The main event for the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Double Titles.
Some weird parts of this match.
Tetsuya Naito defeats Evil in 26-20 to become the 72nd Heavyweight Champion and the 26th Intercontinental Champion.
People have him now.
Evil's second defense of both titles.
Evil's reign of terror, as people are making out the days over.
I want to take a victory lap on this.
Mm.
Who the fuck, after Sengoku Lord, on this podcast, which most of you did not hear, unless you're patrons. If you are, again, thank you. But we said it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
On the Sengoku Lord show, at the end of the show, I said, people are freaking out, but I think it's just going to be like a fucking little 1.5 month thing.
That's what I thought too.
To get us to Jingu and give Naito a big match. If Naito wins, how are they going to do Naito Evil again? It was just a way to do Naito Evil on two shows and let Naito get his big win with the fireworks going off and win the belts back.
And make a star out of Evil.
And it also, it makes a star. It elevates
people
Evil.
Remembers this. They did the same thing with Jay White. He was champion for like.
I swear to God, I tried to tell people this on Twitter. I put it in my preview, I put it everywhere. Evil or Jay White 2019. He wins the title. He loses on his first defense.
And that's happened a lot of times with
Tetsuya
Japan.
Naito 2016.
Yeah.
He wins the title. He makes one defense.
He loses one successful defense. He loses it back to Okada.
Even
Okada's first ring
in 2012. He beats Tanahashi. He makes two defenses this time, Naito and Goto, and he loses it right back to Tanahashi. They do this
all the
time.
They've done this many times.
I told
a lot of heels' first title reign is short. It's just the fact that they win the title makes them a star.
Yes.
And usually they win something like the cup or whatever going in to make them even more of a star.
Which Evil did. Like, people need to learn to listen
to
them.
Take it from there. Yeah.
Or listen to us, because you said the same thing.
Because
I'm sorry.
I knew Evil wasn't going to the... he was going to win it, probably drop it before the G1.
Can we get... This is going to go into the John was right folder. Because
okay.
I called this...
I called this too.
You called it too.
I mean, it wasn't 100%, but I thought the odds are Naito's probably getting both titles back. But now we have a contender for Evil. We could say, hey, maybe he'll get a rematch against Naito to win the G1. He's one of those names in the G1 that could win.
Yes.
I mean, like Jay was right after he dropped the title. And he had a really good record in the G1 that year.
They elevated a new top heel.
Yep.
Which they desperately needed because there's no top heel in the company right now with Jay White gone.
Because he's gone.
And
even when he comes back, I think he's turning face. But that's another.
Yeah.
We can get to that later.
But yeah, I mean, like, this did exactly what it set out to do. And, like, you know, Naito's got the belts back. Like, people need to calm the fuck down. I said at the time, I mean, me of all people, I tried to tell you there's nothing to worry about. Even if Naito had lost here, I thought he was going to win the belt back on a third try or something. So I wasn't going to be that going to freak out that bad. But he won it here. I mean, that's it. It's like, people need to calm down.
Who's winning the G1, though, do you think, by the way?
Maybe Hiromu. Wouldn't that be crazy?
It would be.
And you finally get Naito Hiromu at the
door? I feel
dome.
Like you're dream booking for yourself now, John, but I would be happy. But
well, the only thing that makes me
think... Ghetto does not, like, go on Twitter. What does Tushan Shulalei think? That's what he wants? That's what I do. He's not going to do
that.
That's
what they want. But yes, the... God, well, you remember losing my train of thought. But they can't do Naito Okada. Why would they? With a fucking 5,000 seat cap, it's got to be something else.
You think they're still going to have a cap at the Dome? Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have that cap lifted by January.
It could be Ibushi.
It could be. It could be.
Unless
could
they're going for the tag title.
You could do Naito Ibushi. You could do Tanahashi, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people it could be.
Yeah.
It's really hard to predict right now in this environment, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, so Chris Charlton, as Naito was coming out. By the way, we had live English commentary for the first time in forever. That was nice. As Naito was coming out, Chris was really pushing that Naito was here 21 years ago in left field, sixth row, seat number 5, watching that outdoor show. So, which another thing I thought was another reason why I thought he was winning here. They really were pushing that heavily. And then he did look a little taken aback at the atmosphere. Like, you can see when he was coming out, he was, looking around at taking it all in a way he normally doesn't. So, that was kind of cool. Then, you missed this, but the entrance was awesome. The lights all went out in the stadium, except for the video board. They managed to turn off every light in the entire stadium, which could not have been a great, easy thing to talk them into doing. Be like, yeah, can you turn off every single light in this baseball stadium? And, for an Evil's entrance. And they even had these purple lights in the dugout as Evil and Dick Togo were, emerging. So that looked really cool. One of the coolest entrances in New Japan in a long time, honestly. So Naito went right after Dick Togo and Evil. He went right after Dick Togo, and then Evil immediately hits him with the heavyweight belt before the bell, and then just, beats on him for a while at ringside. He does the chair baseball swing, which, again, makes a lot of sense here at a baseball stadium. They went back in the ring, and, he pulled one of the turnbuckle pads off, even as he told the referee to start counting Naito out. And the turnbuckle, the exposed buckle, ended up coming into play a lot. Naito gets back in the ring. He immediately gets whipped into the exposed turnbuckle. Were the fans, did they program a fake Naito chant? I could have sworn I heard the fake chant saying Naito.
They might have. I couldn't tell.
I thought that would be pretty cool if they managed to do that. But, the fans tried to rally him. Evil, sent him right back into the exposed buckle. You hit the chin lock time, but thankfully didn't last that long. Naito elbowed his way out of it. But Dick Togo once again got involved and tripped him from the floor before he could follow anything else. Now look, people are going to really hate the interference and stuff. At least they contained it to one match.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it a lot better. Even the Dangerous Techers won clean.
Yeah.
I mean, Taichi brought the claw in for two seconds.
But he got kicked out.
But he got kicked out of his hand. So every other heel on the show won clean. The crowd...
Well, Yano didn't really win clean, but,
he's not a heel.
He's not a heel, really.
Yeah. The crowd tried to rally Naito with more clapping, but Evil, put him down again with a swinging neckbreaker. Just as we got the 5-minute call. It was not the most exciting first 5 minutes, I will say that. But you'd assume they were setting up a big Naito comeback, which did happen pretty much right after that. He had a big single leg dropkick, a baseball slide dropkick to Dick Togo on the floor, a swinging DET to Evil, and then the combination Cabron in the corner, followed up by a neckbreaker for a 2 count. Togo distracted Naito from the floor, which let Evil recover with a kick to the gut, and then that hanging stomp he does in the corner, which looks pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Evil raked Naito's eyes on the apron. He tried for Darkness Falls, but Naito dropped down in the ring and sweeped his legs out from under him. That looked cool. You want to say sweep the leg?
Sweep the leg?
I don't know. You said that before.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What are you saying pretty cool for?
You don't watch the commercials during the injured PW.
The
Carl Fredericks.
The Carl Fredericks. Thank
That's
you.
Cool.
I couldn't tell what you were referencing. But yes, so Naito, he goes back to the floor and hits this big neck breaker to Evil on the floor, from the apron. That looked pretty nasty.
The match was really picking up, and this match is, I'm sure people are going to complain this match was, I don't know. Some people seem to just hate Evil like they hate Sonata.
Yeah, I didn't think this was the best main event or anything, but
I thought this was pretty good.
Okay, I liked it, but I didn't think it was I actually think the Dominion match was better, but, Naito hit a big Rana off the top rope for a 2 count. He tries to follow up with Gloria. Can't quite hook him for it, but stays in control. He's kicked some forearms. He starts kicking at Evil while he's down, but Evil just grins evilly, which I guess makes sense. He reverses Naito and whips him hard in the exposed turnbuckle. Both guys are down again. Evil hits a big lariat in the corner. Sets Naito up on the top rope. Hits a huge superplex off the top with both guys up there. That was pretty good. Naito kicks out there for only a one count. He's like, I will not stay down for your fucking two count. Evil hits a big lariat in the corner. I already said that. Then you get the 15-minute call. Evil hits the Darkness Falls for a very close two count. Evil does the throat slip pose. And you saw Dick Togo was doing it on the floor,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I thought it was a little early to call for that, buddy. Yeah.
He tries for the Evil STO thing, but Naito fights out of it. Goes for a German suplex. Evil pushes him back in the exposed turnbuckle again. It's fucking exposed. Can they, like, put the pad back on?
Yeah.
It's been, like, 12 minutes since he took it off.
Or put it on more securely so it's not so easy to take off.
But it's like, put it back on at some point. What are you doing? Gotta get it together, New Japan. Naito comes back with a nice swinging DDT. Both guys down again. Naito hits this really cool rolling combo kick. Where usually he hits that as, like, kind of like a counter move. But here he got this awesome, like, running start. And, like, ran into it. That looked, you know, really cool. Then he hit Gloria and dropped Evil right on his head. Hit a big DDT and went for Destino. But Evil went to his eyes to block it. And then Dick Togo hit him with a chair from the floor. Evil went for the Evil again. But again, Naito fought him off. He hit these multiple elbows right to the side of Evil's head. Those elbows look cool. Because, like, he still had Evil's wrist. And he was just, like, hitting elbow after elbow. Like, it looked hard. It looked, you know... Good elbows. I don't know what else to say about them. The crowd was, like, really trying to clap to rally him here, too. Naito just keeps pounding away at those elbows as he holds on to the wrist. But Evil finally ducks one, and Dick Togo gets up on the apron. And this is the weird spot, the botch, I guess. Naito, I guess, was supposed to collide with Red Shoes, but he just kind of stumbled and fell down. So that didn't look good. I don't know why he didn't get right back up, but he didn't. He just stayed down.
There was a lot of... Yeah, something weird happened here. Like, everything about that, I was like, what? I don't know what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I don't even know what went wrong.
This is why I couldn't go 4 stars, I think.
What? So who messed up there?
I think Naito collapsed. I don't know.
And why did Naito collapse?
I don't...
Was
like
he that tired?
I have no idea.
Was it the humidity? I know they're pouring water in him, like, as soon as the matter... And I don't know, maybe the humidity got to him and he really was just, like, out of it and just,
yeah,
like, fell. I mean...
But it resulted in Evil just, like... So Evil... Because Red Shoes supposed to be bumped there. So Evil just had to grab him and toss him.
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, they didn't
and, like,
really
that
know what else to do there.
And, like, that shouldn't be a DQ, sir.
Yeah, and the referee said, what the hell was that? Like...
Like, we should have lost... And the titles changed hands on DQs.
I know.
So you should have lost the titles here.
I mean...
Because he just, like... It was, like, nothing... Usually these spots, they act like it could have been something else. He just grabbed Red Shoes and was
like,
fuck you!
And,
like,
I don't like you. Come here.
Toss him in the exposed buckle as hard as he can. Dick Togo comes in and stomps on Naito. The fans queue up the booing. They're mad.
Yeah.
Naito, they hit the magic killer on him.
But Naito's got friends.
This time, the real Bushi runs out. Not fucking
the guy
fake.
That,
not big Bushi.
Where you thought
Bushi.
For a second, there's no way in hell that man is Bushi.
Did he eat Bushi? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So he fights them both off. He fights
yeah.
off Evil and Dick Togo.
Eventually.
Gato comes in.
Yeah.
Attacks,
comes in, and I'm like, well, there's one more person that should come out that shouldn't be
yeah.
too beat up to not
Hiromu and Shingo, fine.
Hiromu and Shingo, you know, they're beat up.
Yeah.
Both, especially Hiromu.
Yeah.
But Sonata should be able to make it. He worked for 4 minutes and didn't get pinned.
seven
I think he
minutes.
Can, well, 7 minutes. I think he can, I think he should be recovered by now, and he did run out.
Yeah. It was also the longest to go match, because it was
yeah.
next too, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, right after you said that out loud, he ran out.
Yeah, he did run out.
And then, so yeah, Goto went after Bushi. Sonata ran out.
You thought Bushi might turn on Naito.
Yeah,
I was like, they better not do that. They've already lost him. He's already been betrayed once.
I was like, is Bushi going to turn on him?
Yeah,
but yeah, so, you know, Dick Togo got the choke wire, and then Naito, you know, after he fought Evil off, Togo started choking him from behind, and Evil hit him in the gut with the chair. That's where Sonata finally ran in. He drop kicks the chair into Evil's face. He gets some revenge on his former partner, which I liked. Bushi and Sonata cleaned house on Togo and Gato, and they took him to the back, leaving us with just Naito and Evil. So I know, you know, like, the interference spot I thought worked here. I didn't
yeah.
really think it was anything that bad, but I don't know.
And
it gave a great little spot for Sonata and Bushi. And it's good that Sonata got some fucking revenge on Evil. Remember how he took him out in that New Japan Cup?
Yeah, yeah.
Naito hit Enzigiri on Evil, and the big diving forearm. He hit the running Destino, but Evil kicks out at two. Naito tries to hook him with a real Destino, but Evil drops down behind him and low blows him. Then hits a big lariat, but Naito kicks out too. We get the 25-minute call as Naito goes for his wacky, like, flipping inverted DDT thing. Evil doesn't quite get over for it, though.
Yeah.
So that's another little botch there. Not a disaster, but noticeable. Evil tries for another low blow, but Naito blocks it. Elbows him, hits a huge slap to the face with this big smirk on his face. I don't know. Yeah. He was like, just fuck you, and just like slaps him. It was great. He then hits Valencia and follows up with Destino for the clean pin.
One, two, three.
So I would go 3 3/4. A little hard to rate. It was good. I really enjoyed it. The opening 5 minutes were pretty dull, and there were a couple notable botches. So I thought the Dominion match was slightly better, which I think some people will call a hot take.
The roll call has the fireworks. That was awesome.
The fireworks were so fucking cool.
Which they timed very well right after he finished the roll call. Like maybe a second later, they started going off. That was great.
So Naito does the entire roll call. He says you can't cheer here if you're here, but you can cheer in your hearts.
Yeah.
And he tells you can chant. And then he told people at home they could do it. And then as soon as he finishes the roll call he never got at the Tokyo Dome, or Dominion, obviously.
Yeah.
And he kind of points, not really, but he just kind of points at, in general, I guess. And then the fireworks start going off.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking scene. He does the pose, fireworks go off in the fucking sky. It's like, look, this is what we wanted, basically. A big Naito.
This and the tag titles.
A big Naito moment. So, but I like the way they did the show. It's like heels keep winning all these matches, and you're like, oh, this is a downer. And then fucking Naito overcomes Evil and wins.
Okay.
He overcame Evil. All
right. He did.
He beat Evil back.
And then we're going to talk about...
I thought this was an outstanding show. I mean, I really think, like, show of the year contender, I think. Like, only 6 matches. Everything was good except for that opener, probably. I thought this was outstanding. So hopefully the people who are like, New Japan's dead, the air is over. Guess what? This show is better than half that shit from 2018 you people slurped up with Kenny Omega's champion. Anyway.
There we go.
So, Naito, once again, the IWGP Heavyweight Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm.
So let's wrap things up here with a very brief discussion on Strong Week 4. We're just going to go through the results really quickly here. Because I thought this was the weakest episode of Strong so
far. For the first match, I don't know, other people are probably thinking this, but the short Jay White interview at the very beginning makes me think that he's possibly turning face, which I think will be a good idea. Because
why did you say that? Going to
his... Well, not just the shirt. I mean, he was wearing a shirt that it's hard to boo a guy who's wearing
He's wearing the Black Lives Matter shirt.
I mean, but
that's just his real opinions.
Yeah, I know, his real opinions, but... He said, well, first of all, he said, I can't wait to get home. He said something like, he called Japan his home. And I feel like if he was heel still, if he was staying heel, he wouldn't call Japan his home. He'd be like, oh, that damn country. I mean, he wouldn't say Japan is like a great place to live. He wouldn't call it his home, especially when he's not actually living there.
Yeah.
And also the way he mentioned, you know, he said something that suggested he's not down with Evil being made the leader of Bullet Club.
He said he has stuff to take care of.
Stuff to take care of. I don't know what to say about the stuff going on there. Something like that, which makes me think when he comes back, it may not happen right away, but he will turn face and feud with Evil, I feel.
I would be into that.
I think he'd be... I remember him when he did his ROH run. He was awesome. I think he's better as a face. So, and I remember as a young lion, he had some great matches.
Yeah.
So, but I would be 100% supporting a Jay White face turn.
Yeah, so we'll see. The opener was Danny Limelight beating Jordan Clearwater in 5:58 with the Symbiote DDT. I thought this was a pretty basic opener. I would go like 2 3/4. It was short. Neither guy looked really awful or really great.
But I think Danny Limelight is really good.
Okay.
But
pretty standard US indie match, I think. Pretty good.
He's like the opposite. He's like the doppelganger. Flip Gordon. He's a Marine that jumps around, except I would like to think he's smart enough to know the Earth is round, not flat, and his matches are better.
But. Match 2 was Mysterioso, Barrett Brown, Blake Christian, and Adrian Quest beating TJP, ACH, Carl Fredericks, and Clark Connors. Mysterioso pitting Connors in 12:04 at the MSO. This was a lot of fun.
This was fun, although I thought a little too many people for such a short match that no one really got to shine. A couple people.
Barrett Brown got to shine, I thought.
Yeah, some of them.
Real good action. Barrett Brown's like this Texas indie guy. He was in there for a long time for his team, and he looked good.
Yeah.
Either both getting beat on and getting some offense.
Connors was awesome. And they're building a feud once again. Now, Fredericks and Mysterio, right?
Mysterioso.
Yeah.
So they're going to face each other one of the two shows.
Yeah.
So they kept... I wrote this down in the main event, but they... So this was Road to Fighting Spirit Unleashed, and then Kevin Kelly kept saying on the Fighting Spirit Unleashed tour, but like two shows is not a tour.
Yeah.
And they're not touring anywhere. So it's very weird. Yeah, it's just a very weird statement. He kept saying that over and over again.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, I'm sure that's what they told him to say. I'm not saying it was bad or anything, but like it just was weird. But yeah, so the Fighting Spirit Unleashed shows are going to be next week and the week after with like a bunch of big matches. Kenta versus Jeff Cobb for the contract. Carl Fredericks versus Mysterioso. The two big guys, Hiku Leo and Bruiser, or not Bruiser Brody. Brody Lee.
No, they're going to have trouble booking him.
Is it Brody Lee? What the hell's his name again? Why am I blanking on this fucker's name?
Brody King.
Brody King. Thank you. Brody Lee's such a...
Brody Lee's in Dynamite. He's the TNT world champion.
Buddy. Okay. Anyway.
TNT television champion.
They call him Brody Lee, right?
They call him Mr. Well, he was being called Mr. Brody Lee. Now I think he's being called Mr. Brody.
Okay.
Or he's supposed to be Mr. McMahon. He's supposed to be Mr. McMahon.
That's a stupid name.
Or maybe it's Mr. Lee. I'm trying to remember. I think the people in his group call him Mr. Brody, but the announcers call him Brody Lee. I don't remember exactly.
All right, anyway. So that match is going to be on there. Brody King against...
Is it in New Japan? The greatest idea ever.
I would not think a Mr. McMahon parody is the greatest idea ever, no matter what company it was in. Thank you. Brody King... Brody King... Well, because that would be funny, probably. Uh-huh. But it wouldn't be funny in AEW.
Uh-huh.
Brody King versus who the fuck is he facing? Hiku Leo.
Yeah.
And Jay White versus Flip Gordon. I can wait for that match.
Yeah.
Is that everything? I think there might be something else.
We have still have to talk about the main event, which I barely remember.
Well, let me finish the 8-man tag. So there were some stiff kicks from everybody.
Darren Young is coming.
Some nice. Oh yeah, I forgot. That's the other thing I was thinking.
And then Jeff Cobb.
I did say that.
Okay.
Nice dive from ACH and Blake Christian. He did a springboard 630 to the floor. That looked crazy. And then TJP and Quest had a bit of an awkward sequence with a weird, like, slow tombstone reversal. Didn't look great. I don't know why people say TJP's so good. He's not.
He's fine.
He's okay.
Is that guy coming with Darren Young, by the way?
No, I don't think so. No one knows. We just pointed at.
Well, I'm pointing to my Bob Backlund biography.
TJP, no, I already said that. Good match overall. Yeah. 3.5. I definitely match of the night.
It was fun, yeah. And then the main event was there.
Yeah. Main event, PJ Black losing to Chase Owens.
Am I supposed to know who PJ Black is, really?
I guess he's
saying some ROH. When? From like...
Last year.
Was he even on the MSG show?
No.
In the Battle Royal or something? Yeah, because I have no idea who this guy is. I mean, he's...
Well, he used to be Justin Gabriel.
Are you serious?
You didn't know that?
No, I had no fucking idea. Holy f... That's Justin Gabriel?
That's Justin Gabriel, yes!
Okay, few things. Okay, one... Did he age like 40 years? Like, he looks so, I guess, facial hair. Is he going to form a tag team with Darren Young?
That's a good question. They can go out to We Are Wild and Young.
And was he contacted for the Nexus thing in WWE recently? Was he one of the names?
I don't know.
But look, that's...
Comes up.
Oh my god. I had no idea until he just told no fucking
That's way. Crazy. How did you not know that?
I don't know. It doesn't look like him at all!
It does kind of look like him.
Look at a picture of the last time I saw him was when he was in WWE. That was like 2010. He looked like he was like 12, and now he looks like he's like 46.
What do you want me to tell you? It's him.
Okay. No, I believe you. All right.
But yeah, so Chase Owens won at 11:10 and with a package pile driver. Fucking pervert, Chase Owens. We get some very average grappling, nothing too special. Chase's stall session did nothing to liven things up. We did finally get some action once he was back in the ring. And there was like this very, very like tentative sequence where both guys were like trying to do a big reversal sequence, but they both looked like they were wrestling underwater or something. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was like very slow.
I mean, this match was just kind of like there for me. So
yeah, I mean, there was really... like, you know, not good for a reversal sequence because it wasn't smooth at all. It was like the one with the sunset flip and the apron and they end up back on the apron.
Yeah.
Just looked like they were fucking wrestling molasses. Chase wins clean, sure. A very, very dull main event. I would go like 2.25. I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. Anyway, this was, like I said, the weakest episode of Strong so far.
Yeah.
8-man tag was good. The opener was just okay. The main event was below average. But there's a lot of but I like this show a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for those Fighting Spirit Unleashed shows.
I'm glad ACH is there. I was so worried.
Kenta.
Yeah,
so many great wrestlers.
I was just so happy they brought back ACH because I think he's very extremely talented.
This show is better than Dynamite.
What show?
Strong.
Overall or just this episode?
No, overall.
Maybe. I don't know.
Dynamite's
They're both fun. This
Anime is really good sometimes, buddy. I don't understand. Like, you used to complain to me that I didn't like the first All Out.
It's okay. I don't know.
It made me lose fans because you didn't like AW, buddy. And now...
No, it's Double or Nothing, I think.
Now you're buried you were every
like,
show.
You were like the big... Well, I think all the AW fans either...
Are gone.
Have to put up with it or they've already left. But I don't know. It's just not my thing. Like, this, the build of this paper, like, felt like every match was in the last week. Okay. Sure, I'm sorry. AW's awesome.
Are you talking about this or Payback? Because that is literally what they're doing for Payback, because they have a one-week build for everything.
Kremlin, obviously it's better than WWE. That should not be the only fucking bar they have to clear. Anyway.
That is the big one.
So we can wrap things up here. Kremlin, yeah. I know you got many plugs to make, so plug all your many projects.
I don't have anything. I just Twitter, but I don't even go on Twitter that often, but I'm there.
Do you want to give
I'm
underscore not underscore Quinlan.
Yeah.
Why I know this more than you, I never have any idea. But anyway, folks, I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you, as always, for listening. I don't know what next week's episode will be yet. I haven't planned it out.
Well, Payback is coming, John. So
Why would I review Payback 6 days late?
It's a little... Okay, then...
I don't know. I could do...
You do a pre-show for All Out.
You could...
We got that.
I'm not doing
All Out.
Then
you can spend $50.
Folks, I am not doing All Out. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Okay.
The phone's ringing. I don't know what that means. But anyway, folks,
Hilton's calling me.
Who's calling you?
Paris Hilton? I don't know. Hilton. All right. Anyway.
Can I plug my Patreon, please?
Sure.
Patreon.com/WrestlingOmakase. You know, definitely, like I said earlier, I'm going to do the G1 Climax and the Champion Carnival and the N1. I'm going to die, but we're going to make it work. So definitely subscribe on Tuesday. Why are you looking at me like that? Are you looking at me like you want me to wrap it up? Is that what you're saying? Are you my director? You're saying wrap it up? Is this the fucking Oscars? Are you going to start playing a song? Are you looking for that Oscars song? What is that song they play? I don't even know.
They always play something different.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just wrap it up.
Anyway, so folks, you can follow us on Twitter at WrestleOmakase. Wrestling would not fit. And folks, I want to thank you as always for listening. I'm going to beat Quinlan before he gets to the wrap it up song. So, unless he gets to...
This is a song literally called Wrap It Up, so never mind. Okay.
Anyway, folks, thank you, as always, for listening. Check out the Patreon. Check out the Twitter. And we'll be back... Check out the Twitter. And we'll be back next week. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.